Something looked at me from some other sea. And if I leave a window open, maybe I can feel the breeze.
All right, welcome back to the Trees Reach podcast. Today we'll be talking about track 6, which is called Mist, and it is the first of our precipitation themed songs.
Yes. Oh, that reminds me of something I wanted to talk about.
Titled songs. What's that, Dylan?
I'll talk about it when I talk about it. I'm going to type it in our notes.
All right. So, yeah.
How do you spell precipitation? Never mind. I got it. No, I didn't. It corrected me.
Precipitation. Pre.
Okay. All right.
When are we going to start telling people that this is an album about a weatherman?
Boy, I feel like you played our whole hand right there, Luke. I feel like you really spilled the beans.
Yeah, the other working title was...
Why'd you spill the beans, Luke? You shouldn't have spilled the beans.
Why'd you spill the beans? If you haven't seen The Lighthouse, go stop this episode right now and don't listen to any more Trees Reach and watch that movie.
And tell us if it's actually good or if it's just dumb. Dumb.
It's not. It wasn't dumb. If anything, it was just something else other than dumb. It was
something good. Else.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did enjoy it.
Anyway, sorry, Rick.
Right. So, track 6, Mist. It's not actually about precipitation, but it's funny to say that. Yeah, Dylan, do you want to start sort of soft talking about the history?
Definitely. I sure will do the very thing. Good. So, as has been mentioned several times now on this podcast, it's 2012, 13-ish. Riley and I are writing this, what became this album, with a different drummer named David. And we had a complete version of that album, and we drove down to Alabama for a month to rehearse it with David, because that's where David lives. And so we're in his mega church practicing songs, and we get to this point where we say, okay, we know there will be this big dream song, and then after it we need to come off into something else. And we had a few ideas, but we didn't have a song written yet. And so David showed us a chord progression that he had and said, how about this? And we liked the chord progression and said, what if we slowed it down and it was a ballad? And we said, cool. And then we kind of left it there. We didn't really have any more ideas for it. But I do remember, I think it was probably later that night, we go back to our apartment where Riley and I were staying in a vacant apartment that David's landlord was graciously letting us use for free for like 3 weeks. And David was across the way from us. And so it's crazy hot outside. It's so humid. It's like, it's August in Alabama, and we go into our air-conditioned apartment with our air mattresses and our incense and our instruments. And Riley is sitting on his air mattress, and we had a seance, that's right. And we saw your dad there, Luke.
So everybody knows.
We're going to cut this out. 100%. We're not going to use that joke.
This has to go in.
This is not going. This is definitely going. Okay.
That is so funny. Damn it.
All right. All right.
For the record, there were no seances, but the apartment did smell like ditchweed.
It did smell like ditchweed, and there was a McDonald's large Coke sitting in the corner, and we didn't know if there was anything in it, but we never went and checked, I don't think.
You were there for 3 weeks?
No, we never checked. Oh, I think we did.
We were there for like a month.
Yeah, but anyway.
What? Go ahead. Hang on really quick. Do you guys remember the I think it was a McDonald's bottle, McDonald's drink
in the warehouse
for I think almost the entire time that we were there. Do you guys remember that?
Yes.
And it like collected mold and.
Was so, it ours?
I guess. Yeah, it was yours specifically.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't remember this.
I do not recall this.
I don't doubt it. I certainly believe that this happened, but I think not in my recollection.
I think we might have talked about cleaning it up at one point, and then it turned into this thing that turned like was like kind of like a social science experiment, you know. And when we were cleaning up the warehouse, it was just wow, that was gross.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice film with some mold, and yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And our listeners might be interested to know, while we're off on many a tangent, that warehouse was kitty corner from the Target on the northeast side of Cedar Rapids, right next to the water tower. And it is now the room of the warehouse, vacant warehouse that we practiced in, is now about exactly where Fuzzy's Tacos is.
Yeah.
So if you ever are at Fuzzy's Tacos and feeling like a particular sense of
dread,
blossoming indie rock from a few years past, it might just be the residual spirit of live broadcast in 2014.
Yeah. That's where we wrote Dwayne the Rock Johnson and What a Gorgeous Day and other songs you've never heard of if you're not a longtime fan.
Yeah.
Two people know that those references. Okay, so anyway, after the seance, Riley is sitting on his air mattress with some incense going, and he's playing the chords slow. And I remember in a night you had that melody and lyrics for Mist, the melody exactly as it is on the album. This also falls into that category of song where we had lyrics for it, and then a little while later we rewrote them just as we felt we focused the concept more and kind of wanted to be more intentional about our just how we use the poetry. Riley, you had said it's the first song about precipitation. I'll say this now, though, yes, it is not about precipitation. There's a consistent metaphor going through this album that I'd forgotten about until now that I do want to mention, which is that there's increasing degrees of obscurity. So you have mist, later on the album you have fog, and then you have rain. And the idea, you could argue that fog is more obscuring than rain. That's fine. Don't at me. I really hoped you guys would laugh at that. And I hope the audience laughed at it.
I was busy thinking about how, like, the density of water is, I think, more than the density of fog. So I think our progression works.
Okay.
But also don't at me on that, because
I'm imagining a downpour, just straight up rain, right. Like tons of rain. Anyway, but the idea being that these songs are at strategic points in the album where he's gradually getting more blind. So Mist comes after the very first dream song, and there's a peace and a relaxation, and you can hear even in the lyrics there's like this perspective shift in how the guy is speaking. Like, I've just seen something amazing, something looked at me from some other sea, and if I leave my window open, maybe I can feel the breeze from the night before that showed me all these things. And of course, leaving the window open, just a continuation of the Peter Pan thing. But the idea is that what starts as something good and refreshing, kind of harmless, eventually becomes his fixation. And as he zeroes in his vision on it, he becomes more blind. So fog comes after the second dream song, and there's more just kind of mental obscurity there, even though he thinks he's going toward clarity. We will obviously talk about this much more later on, but then Skies and Seas and Timeless lyrically also both tie into that kind of interestingly to fulfill some of that imagery. Yeah. This is a really short song, so I think this is probably going to be a relatively short episode, but I do want to talk about some things like where and when some of these tracks were recorded. And what some of that whole practical process was like. So Riley, do you remember all the times and places where this track happened?
I don't have it in my personal memory, but I do have it in the famous album stems record keeping document on my Google Drive.
That's exactly what I wanted.
I have pulled up right now.
I hope you have a special name for that. Does it have a special name?
The file is called Album Stems Record Keeping.
That's not very special.
That's catchy.
That is a functional title that is descriptive, but not catchy. I was not expecting to have to tell other people the name of the file until now.
Understandable. Okay. All right.
Understandable. Yeah. What do you think it should be called, Luke?
Yeah, what's the title? I'll change it right now, Luke.
Cool
I'm going to change it. What?
Cool shiz. Cool shiz. S-H-I-Z. Cool shiz.
But then when I want
to
find...
Welcome to 2009.
When I want to find the file, I'm not going to be able to find it because I won't remember what it was called.
Okay, well, I don't know.
All right, never mind.
Sorry.
You've had your chance, Luke. So this song... this song was... a lot of the core tracks were kept from our sessions at Music Loft, RIP, with Craig Erickson as our recording engineer. And they are definitely the best sounding stuff we got from working there. We recorded the bass guitar, acoustic and electric guitars all in like late winter of 2014. And
wow,
they all sound like particularly good, which is because we, for the bass and electric guitar, we were using like a nice instrument going through a nice amp being recorded with a proper mic for the job, which we didn't do for the whole album. And with the acoustic, we got to use one of Craig's nice acoustics there. It was an Alvarez. So the core tracks kind of set us up well in that regard. So it wasn't until like a year and a half later that I made like the next step in fleshing out the song, which was to record the synthesizer sounds that start the song and are present more or less throughout the song, which I did in the beloved program Mixcraft, which is, I say beloved because I used it for a long time, but it's not particularly good or anything. But it was my first time, I think, ever like using MIDI, which is a language basically that you use to tell a computer how to play notes. The first time I ever used MIDI controls to like actually compose parts for a song, and program like the how the different synths sounded. And so what I came up with is not that special, but I blended a few different sounds, which have a lot to do with the texture and color of the song for me. And we just stuck with those original, what I came up with that day in 2015.
Riley, sorry to interrupt. Yeah, I ran off screen for a second because we were talking about how good the bass sounds on this song. And for those of us watching the show, this is the bass that I used on that track. It's a Hofner violin bass.
Beautiful.
And it really is a beautiful instrument. And I used it for a few songs on this album, like Glass Cages and this one, Rain, Sun Chasers. But it, yeah, Mist has my favorite bass tone on the whole album. It's very chunky and hollow and beautifully compressed.
Mm. Yeah. It's very juicy, mm-hmm. as they say.
Yeah.
So
they do say.
They do. So I think the only other things going on in the song are the vocals and background vocals. which were recorded 2 years later in 2017 while we were mixing the album, basically.
Riley, you had mentioned earlier that all the various oohs and ahs that you hear on the album were like one of the very last things we did. And they were kind of done in one big
thing. Yeah, they were done like some songs were completely mixed while and we were still going back and recording the oohs and ahs. Often because we just like didn't feel like doing it.
Yeah.
Or there's just there's other things.
It was too hot outside.
Right. So yeah, that's kind of an overview of what the recording process looked like. Dylan, do you have anything to say about all that? Or Luke?
No, it is kind of funny. I was thinking about stuff that held over from the Music Loft sessions and just how even that was so not a consistent thing. Like, this is the one song that we recorded while all of Craig's stuff was briefly upstairs. Because Music Loft was built out of this old house. Luke, do you know when that home would have been built, Mr. Realtor Luke Long?
No, I have no idea. It seemed like a house that maybe was like originally a house at one point, and then it had a like a storefront added onto it at a later point. I don't know.
So it's maybe kind of a hodgepodge,
just like that. Yeah, but it's a house with residential house with commercial space in front.
Wow.
But so that was just interesting. I do want to listen to some stuff here. I would love to, Riley, listen to your synth stuff and start with that. Yeah.
Yeah. So the synth sounds are, they're labeled organ, strings, and whistle. The organ sounds more just like a square lead to me, a square wave, which is technical jumbo for buzzy sounding wave. So the song starts with this sound blended with this just string-ish sound. And so it sounds like this.
That is the sound.
That's the sound. Let's go later to when it's a little more interesting. I think actually the most interesting part is the whistle sound that I used later in the song. This is a sound that I found in the Mixcraft library that was particularly charming to me. It sounds like this. So it kind of reminds me of playing Crash Bandicoot on PlayStation 1. Mm. A very fast vibrato, but also the attack, like the first thing you hear in the sound every time it changes a note, has like a really... It's a really charming sound to it, and it actually sounded really good when you combined it into chords and moved it and counterpoint and such. So I'll solo the all these instruments during kind of the guitar solo part of the song, and I'm not sure it'll be balanced very well, but this is what they sound all together.
Can you, I really want to hear that with the guitars in there too, if we can. I like just kind of hearing some of this stuff like slowly pieced together to like, or like that with the bass in there or something.
Yeah, I mean, we can, let's do it all. Bass and guitar. I'm going to toss a little bit of reverb on the guitars just to kind of emulate what they actually are going to do in the final mix. But here's that part of the... Sorry, what?
Oh, I was just going to say, folks don't remember, we're listening to what's called stems of the song, which is just each individual track. That's how we're able to isolate these individual parts. So that means that they don't have any of the effects that they do on the album. They're just dry input, very stark, very cold.
Very sad. none of the effects on each individual track, and none of the glue on that was bringing all the tracks together. So they're very much, they're going to sound stark compared to what the final thing sounds like. But yeah, this is that part of the song.
I think it's great part writing, Riley, that synth part eventually just kind of fades out. You just have the top note going down because the guitars are there filling it in. So it's a great way to just kind of thin out the texture and quiet it down right at the end.
Yeah. I'd forgotten about that.
Yeah. Cool. Interesting anecdote about this song. So what we weren't hearing there was the acoustic guitar, and the acoustic guitar was played by none other than yours truly, Hot Dilly Ray.
Yeah.
I played acoustic on this song and on No Telling.
Yes.
And I think that's it. And I know why I played it on No Telling, but I couldn't tell you why I played it on this song. Other than maybe we just kind of liked my feel. I mean, me and you we sound different on acoustic guitar, right?
Yeah, so. We have the way we strum without a pick is totally different, like the way we use our fingers. And so, I think on this song, it's just the touch that you had.
So I think I was using a pick for this. Can we listen to the,
Can you guys hear that? Yeah,
I think what I hear in the acoustic in this song that contrasts with how you play, Riley, is that it's a little bit more like heavy footed, like I'm getting my roots really loud, and then like the rest of the chord just kind of like billows in around it. And that's because I'm not as good at acoustic guitar. So I disguise my chord changes by just like hitting the root really good and then like taking a break so that my fingers have time to find their place. I'm better now than I used to be, but for this song, I think it had the right feel and the slight ways in which I fight the tempo for that very same reason, I think helps it sound a little, not very pristine, but in a way that becomes pristine with the rest of the mix around it.
But I think it sounds cool. Very earthy. Sounds like a guitar that's like kind of digging through loose dirt like a mole.
My guitar. I have been told my guitar playing is very mole like.
Yeah, I'd expect so given this recording.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. What's some other the other stems that we wanted to look at? Do you want to hear the bass?
Yeah, yeah, let's do the bass.
And then maybe the background vocals?
Definitely.
Yeah, so here's the bass. This is, it's gonna sound very different than it does on the recording since there's no compression. And I'm looking at the waveforms here and I can tell that the compressor was doing a lot because the using a pick on it, right?
Yeah, I was using
a pick. But anyway, it'll sound good either way. Here's what the bass sounds like. Yeah, was there another part that you wanted to look at? Was there any particular licks?
I don't remember. Can we listen to it? Can we get the bass and the acoustic and the electric in during that guitar solo bit? So one note I do want to make is that we knew that this song wasn't going to have any percussion, and so I wanted to play the bass in a way that felt like there was percussion there, so that was kind of like a dual function it served. So yeah, it was a lot. It's a fun bass line to write.
Yeah.
Let's hear some background vocals.
Yeah.
Maybe with acoustic guitar or something. Would that be the best way to do it?
Actually, I'd like to hear them just with the main vocal.
Okay.
Because they harmonize.
Can't see ooh, ways that I can be and spoke my name. Colors far beyond all shades of gold and green.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And at the end.
Yeah, you know you gotta go to the end.
At the end, we blended them with the synth string stuff that I was showing earlier so that you couldn't hear exactly what was going on. But you'll hear it here, naked and unafraid.
Willing to persist in the impossible conclusion that these colors don't exist. What else have I missed?
Can we listen to that harmony part again, but without the lead vocal, just them on their own?
Oh, of course.
This is one of those classic instances of, it's like when we wrote this, we're thinking that'd be great if a choir was singing this.
Yes.
And we're like, let's just sing in falsetto and try to sound like Righteous Women.
Like in our head, we're hearing.
We got it. We nailed it.
We nailed it.
In our head, we're hearing Disney choirs.
Oh, yeah, like old 50s, yeah, Snow and, White or something.
And obviously what comes out is it's like dudes singing in falsetto, which has a very specific sound.
But I mean, I remember blending this sound with the synthesizers because we wanted it to not be obvious that it was just us singing in falsetto while simultaneously not wanting to be obvious that we were using like a synthesized whistle sound from Mixcraft. So we tried to bring them together to make a good sound as opposed to two bad sounds.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So yeah, I'd love to hear those vocals on their own.
Yeah, let's do it. That's nice.
terrible.
You know, there's, yeah. It's not perfectly on pitch or anything, but what is? So, yeah.
Rick, didn't we record these vocals in one night?
Yeah.
Like, we learned them and recorded them
in, yeah.
in yeah, one night.
I'm quite sure. It was quite the grind.
Yeah.
Yeah, if I have any, this happened on multiple occasions throughout the making of this album, including when we were trying to record Repeat at Music Loft, when like the first week with David, where we waited till like I had written the parts to be sung, but we had never sang them, and we're just like, oh yeah, we'll just like learn them and sing them. It's fun. It'll be easy. It's like, no, it's not going to be easy.
It's a whole night is what it is.
I'll give you, yeah, I'll give you the answer. And the answer is that it will be very difficult unless you are significantly better at learning and singing things perfectly than we are.
Yeah, we're good at faking being a good vocal band.
Very much so.
if I can be so bold. Really quick, and I think... we can probably about wrap it up after this, but I want to hit the background vocals right when they first come in and solo them just with one of the instrument tracks, no lead vocal, because the main motif of the album is tucked away in there and you might not have noticed it. So listen for it here.
Shades of gold and green.
Yeah, so it's in my part. And it's... Yeah, so it's right here. Yeah, tucked away in there. You wouldn't notice it, but there she blows.
Yeah, it's but that was an intentional artistic choice to say he's. It's a way of telling the story, kind of in other ways than just using the words. Like he is vaguely in kind of a mist, right? Like remembering the dream he had, and it's still kind of there, and he can almost taste it, but it's slightly different, and it's like it doesn't quite. He can't feel it the way he did the night before, which is what the whole song is about.
Yeah. How about that?
How about that?
Crazy.
Oh, one more, and we don't have to listen to this, but one more Easter egg is turn this song up really loud and listen to it on headphones just during the fade out of this song, or more, I should say the taper. It ends, but we taper it off to bring it to a close. We taper it off because there's in the acoustic guitar track, which is the last thing you hear ringing out, so like we couldn't do anything about it, was Craig, our engineer for the acoustic guitar stuff, just like changing settings on the board, and
it has like the automatic faders, and so like the volume sliders that you move, you click buttons and they move automatically, so but they're really loud, like they're made of
so
you can hear that going on.
I don't know why that was a moment to change the volume settings on the board when that guitar was ringing out.
You know, who knows?
What are you gonna do?
Was it as far as fun facts go, it is also true that this is the shortest song on the album, right? Is that
correct?
What we found?
It's a minute and 55 seconds, I think.
Yeah, and we were looking at this before we started, and there are 6 songs on the album that are under, or rather there's 5 songs on the album that are under 2.5 minutes, and then Skies and Seas, which we'll talk about in a few weeks, is just over that. We were just kind of having a conversation about like the pacing of the album and how a lot of the songs we intentionally kept short because we knew like this album's going to be 20 some tracks long, so we can't really dwell on one thing for terribly long. So this is kind of one of these, what we call snack songs, that are just a real quick little bite, you know? Mm-hmm.
Which isn't to say that they're not conceptually important, just like snacks are not unimportant to your day. You're at Disney World.
You can have a very...
You're at Disney World, your kid is fussing. If you don't have snacks, you're done. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You're done.
A nutritional snack can go a long way.
That's right.
You have a kid?
Yeah. I'm your dad, Luke.
Well, how about that?
I think it's time to go.
Yeah.
Yeah, we better go.
Well, folks, thanks for tuning in to episode 6 about track 6.
Luke, are you all right?
Podcast. After this, we're gonna talk to Luke and get him calmed down after the news that Dylan just broke to him about his real father.
Luke, it's not a big deal. It's not a big deal, dude. Stop making it weird.
All right. Well, I get to deal with this now.
All right,
guys. Have a good night, as always. Stay safe.
Yep. Good hanging with you. We'll see you in a couple more weeks to talk about Any Shade of Gold. As always, please remember to wash your hands.
Yeah.
Wash your hands.
Wash your hands. Good night, guys.
I thank God.